are the big two this weekend. Liverpool versus Man City on Sunday. And we've got plenty on that with our friends from the FWA as well as Alex and DK mashing the two teams together. Robbie's back to look at Chelsea's form. Derek is doing his bit and we have more 3 o'clock number crunches. I'll be back to tell you about some cracking offers. But first, William Hill's answer to Ant and Dec, DK and Alex.
Thank you, Emma. Which one are you, Ant or Dec? You've got the accent for it, at least.
What, both then? Which one are you?
Neither then. You just play both this week. I'm looking forward to this week. Got that big game to come. The big clash at Anfield, Liverpool versus Manchester City. Four games, like hors d'oeuvres before the main course.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Yeah, we start on Friday night as well, which I always like because drags your weekend out a bit longer, doesn't it? Friday night game's always better than a Monday night game, I find. And though it's not the greatest appetite wetter that you'll ever find. Hopefully we'll see a bit of entertainment anyway.
Let me spin you through the betting for Norwich versus Watford at Carrow Road. We've got Norwich at 13-8, the draw 13-5, Watford in the betting at 31-20. Bottom two in the table going into the weekend. What's happened to Norwich? Because they got that fantastic result against Manchester City. They've picked up just 1 point since. Timu Pukki, who looked like a world beater, everyone immediately transferred them into their fantasy teams after those first couple of weeks, has gone off the boil completely. What's gone wrong?
They're not very good, basically. They can't defend. Going forward, they do look a threat from time to time. When it clicks, they look really dangerous. But defensively, they're always good value to concede two or more in a game, which makes it quite difficult to win games. You look at the games that they've won this season. That Man City game is looking more and more like a fluke with each passing week.
Yep.
And they beat Newcastle in their first home game, which wasn't a fluke. They were very good on the day. Newcastle were appalling. So since then, it has been a little bit difficult for Norwich. But let's not forget, Dave, they're not coming up against world beaters here. Watford winless so far this season.
Yeah, I'm looking at Gerard Deulofeu to score at any time. We nailed that last week in that game against Chelsea. And the fans aired their grievances last week, directed at the manager. And I think Watford, they look a short price here to me. Away from home, 31-20.
I was quite willing to side with Watford before I saw the price.
Yeah.
I thought you might get a bit of value on them here with Norwich being not clear favourites, but comfortable favourites in the game. Now that I've seen the prices, it makes you think, well, actually, if Norwich are to stay up, which I don't think they will, if they are to stay up, it will be off the back of their home form. So they'll see this as a pretty much must win, really. Mm. It sort of has that feel about it. I know it's early in the season, but you know these are two sides who will probably be down there until the bitter end. It makes it difficult to bet on, really, because you wonder if already desperation will play a bit of a part.
Yeah.
This time last year, I think Huddersfield played Fulham at home, and that had a feel of whoever loses this is in big bother. This sort of has the same ring to it. It's a big, big game.
Difficult match to call, this one. I fancy both teams to score. I'm going for Gerard Deulofeu to get on the score sheet as well. What's your bet?
I think I'd probably take the outright out of it. It's priced up so that if you did have a strong view on either side, they're juicy enough, I suppose.
Yeah.
Watford a little too skinny for me, so I'll take the outright out of it. I'm playing goals here. I think both teams to score will land, but I'm going to go over 3.5. Watford away from home have only beaten one side that are currently in the Premier League this calendar year. That was away at Palace earlier in the season. Yes, they're beating teams who are now Championship sides, and it could well be that Norwich are a Championship side before too long. But I would take the outright out of it. I'm going to play over 3.5 as the main pick.
Over 3.5 goals in the game for Alex. Let's hear from Robbie Savage this week. Sav says,
if someone would have said to me before the start of the season Chelsea would be the top team in London come the end of it, I'd have thought, you're having a laugh. They've got a transfer ban. Super Frank's first year as a Premier League manager. I thought, no chance. But I'll tell you what, they are playing ever so well. Great position in the Premier League. 2 points behind Man City. Jose Mourinho's first season as Chelsea manager, 21 points from 11 games. Super Frank, 23. 7 consecutive away wins in all competition. Super Frank, only one other Chelsea manager has done that. They're currently on the longest winning run in the league. 5 wins from 5. That's the best in any of the top 5 leagues in Europe. The side, experienced players helping those academy graduates to develop. World Cup winners helping them do that. But I tell you what, those graduates have grabbed the opportunity with both hands. What a performance from Frank's team already this season. They're my second favourite team. And I tell you what, Frank's side will finish as the top team in London and a Champions League spot.
I must admit, Chelsea are becoming my second team now. I'm worshipping at the altar of Frank Lampard all of a sudden, because that game midweek was just absolutely outstanding. 4-4, two players sent off in 30 seconds, two penalties in the game. Chelsea are just fun to watch.
They're fun. They didn't win, though, did they?
They didn't win. But no. They picked up a 4-4 draw after going 4-1 behind.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't be going 4-1 behind in the first place. They can't defend, but they're so good going forward. I'm with you in the fact that they are entertaining.
Oh.
And as a neutral, you watch them and just go, well, their games should have goals in.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Ajax game was something else. Whether this game will have quite as many goals, I'm not so sure. But again, I'm hopeful that we'll see a Chelsea who, going forward, are very dangerous. And at the back are, well, equally dangerous, I
yeah,
suppose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They do concede plenty of goals. I think those Chelsea fans, maybe some of them missing the 1-0 or the 2-0 wins that they had under Jose Mourinho a few years back. This game kicks off at 12:30 on Saturday. Chelsea are long odds on to win it, 32-100. The draw 17-4, Crystal Palace 17-2. Don't forget, you can build a Your Odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app. Loads of enhancements coming your way as well. On this game, both teams to score in a Chelsea win is 8-5. Both teams to score in a Palace win is 12-1. The draw 5-1 in that market. That's the market we are probably looking at, in all honesty. And one man that's really caught my eye in the early part of the season is Jorginho, because he was much maligned last year. And this year, you look at those rankings for key areas, and Jorginho's just been absolutely sensational. And that pass for Tammy Abraham's goal last weekend was just out of this world. How good was that?
It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
It was.
It was one of those passes that you don't even see. So if you're a defender, I don't know how you can be prepared for a pass like that.
It's impossible.
It doesn't look like it's on. It was phenomenal. I don't want to get too carried away with... People get carried away with players because they score goals and he's scoring penalties and he's good at penalties. But that doesn't make him a good player. But no, I mean, these stats are more than enough to suggest that...
And I like the way he's directing operations as well, because just before he plays that pass through to Tammy Abraham, you see him tell Kurt Zouma, go wide first, then come back into me, and I'll whip that ball in behind for Tammy Abraham. That's what I like. And he's a completely different player under Frank Lampard. And that Frank Lampard's bringing the best out in most of his players.
Yeah, that's true. I think there were times last season where he looked a weak link, Jorginho. He was the player that the opposition would target. That is not the case anymore. And he is the kind of player that if you give him time, he will absolutely punish you. But of course, he has the players around him, doesn't he, who are lively. I mean, Pulisic has hit a real run of form at the minute. Whoever they play on the wings is a danger. Willian is no superstar at the minute, but he's doing a decent job in there as the elder statesman,
yep,
alongside some younger players. You've got the likes of Hudson-Odoi who can come in. Pedro hasn't been playing much recently.
Christian Pulisic is in
Pulisic, fantastic.
Form.
Abraham, of course, up front, just keeps scoring.
Yeah.
So the future looks pretty bright for Chelsea at the minute. They just need to try and shore up a little bit at the back. But if they're scoring this many goals, I don't think that'll be a major concern for them at the minute. The issue would be if the goals dry up and they keep defending like this, then they'll be in a bit of bother. But at the minute, they're great to watch.
Jorginho has been fantastic. He's been a real influence on this Chelsea team. He might score in this game as well. What's your bet in the match?
Well, initially I looked at it and I thought, do you know what? Palace are a massive price here because they're good away from home and they've got a fair record at Stamford Bridge as well. Nothing to write home about, but they've picked up a couple of wins there in recent years.
Yep.
So that was my initial thinking. But then when you think about it more, you just think, well, Chelsea are probably going to win this. They're probably going to outscore Palace. So we'll go to the tried and trusted, shall we? Chelsea and both teams to score looks a really solid bet here. And it's quite a fair price when you factor in how short Chelsea and the outright betting. So
yep,
Chelsea and both teams to score, I'd have no qualms at all in taking that on here.
That's the lunchtime kickoff. We'll get to the 5:30 match very soon. But first, it's number crunchers.
We've got some intriguing Saturday 3 o'clock games in the Premier League. So let's delve into some of those games from a statistical standpoint and see if we can find some winning selections. First to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where the home side welcome Sheffield United, looking for their first win in five. The history books look to be on their side. They're unbeaten in four home games against the Blades in all competitions going back to 1991. While there's no doubt Spurs have been struggling of late, there's still a defensive force to be reckoned with at home, having conceded more than one goal just once in 15 home Premier League games in 2019. Let's go Spurs to take a step back in the right direction with a win to nil at around 17-10. Meanwhile, at Turf Moor, two teams looking to snap winless runs take each other on as Burnley host West Ham. Burnley did win this equivalent fixture last season, but generally have struggled here against West Ham. That was their first win at home against the Hammers in six meetings, going back to 2010. This looks a tight one, so it may pay to side with a goalscorer bet. And interestingly, Burnley's Chris Wood has scored in all four of his Premier League games against West Ham. Back him to notch any time at around 13-10. On the south coast, Southampton are hoping to improve an already impressive home record against Everton. They've won 11 games against them at either the Dell or St Mary's and have only beaten Newcastle at home on more occasions in the Premier League. Things look even worse for the Toffees when you look at their away record this season. They're winless in their last eight on the road. Despite their recent woes, at around 2-1, the Saints make plenty of appeal.
Hopefully some decent bets there from John Gibby on Number Cruncher as we... I'm not sure if it's Number Cruncher or Number Crunchers.
No, do what you want, Dave. Yeah, it's your feature.
I would do. Leicester versus Arsenal is coming up next. 5:30 kickoff this one. Leicester 21-20 to win the game. They draw 27-10. Arsenal in the betting at 5-2. I fancy both teams to score here. I think that's an absolute banker. It's 1-2, though, unfortunately. No, it's 6-4. Leicester to win and both teams to score is 11-5. The draw in that market, 16-5. Arsenal, 4-1. Don't you just love Jamie Vardy? That's, you do, though, don't you? That celebration last week when he scored against Crystal Palace, he'd been derided all afternoon by the Palace fans. They'd been mocking what's been going on in his personal life. Mm-hmm. And he responded by scoring and then did the Eagle celebration in front of them. It was just... it was just glorious.
He's such a threat as well, because we've highlighted in the past that he doesn't touch the ball very often. When he does, it ends up in the net, basically. Leicester play really, really good football. I know that they are very much in vogue at the minute. They are the team that everyone likes to like because they're doing very well. They're very good. They are. We can't get away from that. Their first team is... better than Arsenal's?
Yeah.
Well, it certainly is on form.
I think definitely.
But in terms of personnel as well, they're just a really, really good side. And they're coming up against a side here who've got problems. That's been well highlighted in recent weeks. And in terms of the managers, Brendan Rodgers has gone from being a bit of a, not a laughing stock, but certainly someone that it was easy to take the mick out of.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's got this fantastic team with an identity. Coming up against an Arsenal side who just look, they look tired, they look devoid of ideas, they look defensively vulnerable.
Yeah.
And they've got a manager who's under pressure.
They're at the lowest ebb, really, Arsenal at the moment. They've lost their last couple of meetings going to the King Power against Leicester as well. Got to talk about the two main men. If Arsenal are going to get a result here, I think it will come from the boot or the head of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And he's going up against Jamie Vardy, who's just in fantastic format. I think I'm surprised Leicester aren't a shade of odds on here.
It's weird, isn't it?
You're getting odds against Leicester. It looks a bit like a trap, doesn't it? Because
I think
everyone's going to be back in Leicester this weekend in this game.
And it looked a little bit like a trap last week away at Palace as well, where you just thought, are they the real deal? Do I want to get involved at that price? I think you probably do this time around, just because Arsenal on the road, you just have to take them on. It's so difficult to side with them. Can I see Arsenal scoring here? Yes, it's quite probable. Can I see Leicester scoring? Unquestionably, yes.
Yeah.
Arsenal on the road, just the one away clean sheet in the Premier League this season. That was at St James's Park. Last season, only one, and that was at Watford. They will let a goal in here, probably two, possibly more. It hasn't been a happy hunting ground for Arsenal, at least in, well, last season they came here. And Vardy basically just treats Arsenal like his plaything. he just loves playing against them, yeah. And I can see him getting on the score sheet again here.
I think there's a bet here. I think I'm going to go with Leicester to win and both teams to score. I think Vardy will get on the score sheet as well. What do you fancy?
Very similar thoughts, to be honest. Yeah. If you are looking for an outright pick, Leicester and both teams to score seems the way to go. Leicester on their own at that price are attractive enough, to be honest with you. But Jamie Vardy's the main man for me. For nap purposes this week, I'd back him any time. It is a short price, but if you're throwing him in with some other things, maybe, other players, then I think it's well worth it. If you are looking for a little more value, Vardy two or more has got to be worth a look. He's got 5 in 4 home games against the Gunners. He's got a couple of braces in that spell as well, including away from home. Vardy's the one I'd be focusing on here. So for a bit of value, we'll go Vardy two or more. If you're playing it safe, Vardy anytime.
A Vardy two or more, Vardy anytime. Any bet around Jamie Vardy, basically, is the play in this game at the King Power Stadium. Now, this is a good one. Let's hear from Mr. McGovern and his bit this week.
Arsenal manager Unai Emery has reportedly been given four games to save his job. He's asked for one of the games to be this season, one next season, and the other two the season after. People say Emery should go and have a long, hard look at himself in the mirror, but that would be pointless. Dracula has no reflection. We're told that the next four Premier League games will define Arsenal's season, but I can define it right now. Abysmal. Critics argue that they lack leaders. They also lack points. Pretty soon they'll lack fans too. Since last season, they've lost Aaron Ramsey and Lauren Koscielny. And with Alex Iwobi also going, they're running short of players that make you think, I could do a better job than him. But fear not, they still have Mesut Ozil. Former Gunner Nicholas Bentner revealed this week that in Ozil's first week at Arsenal, he went out on the town three times. Maybe it was the price of the booze in London that's made his eyes pop out still. Arsenal visit Leicester on Saturday as they continue their impressive bid to lose at every away ground in the country. Leicester are evens. I'll repeat, Leicester are evens. Liverpool are 6 points clear at the top of the Premier League and this weekend are playing at Anfield. City are favourites even though Liverpool haven't lost at Anfield since dinosaurs roamed the earth and Jan Malby roamed the Liverpool midfield. It's a mystery. On a par with why does your favourite song come on the radio just as you're getting out of the car? When a hairdresser goes for a haircut, who does all the talking? And exactly what is it that Brian Kidd does at Man City? City have been favourites in each of the last five seasons they've pitched up at Anfield for a Premier League contest and almost every time they've had their backside smacked. And City's preparation hasn't been helped by the news that their winger Riyad Mahrez accused world boxing champion Deontay Wilder of flirting with his missus. He may live. There's talk that no matter what the result, football will be the true winner. You can have 33-1 with me. Now I really fancy my nap to win this week because I have the law on my side. The law of averages. Crystal Palace are 17-2 to win at Chelsea. If they were playing on their own ground, they'd be something like 7-2. Yet it's become quite clear over the past two seasons that Roy Hodgson's men are far more likely to win away than at home. One day bookies will wake up to this fact. Until then, we can make hay. And I find that's far easier to make than a profit.
Let's get stuck into Wolves versus Aston Villa at Molineux. 2 o'clock kickoff for this one on Sunday. Wolves, a shade of odds on here. 88-100 to win the match. The draw in the betting at 13-5 with Aston Villa at 16-5. Both teams to score, yes, is 8-11. No is in the betting at even money. Intriguing match this one because I keep thinking that Wolves are underachieving, but they've gone six unbeaten in the Premier League since they were stuffed at Molineux by Chelsea a couple of months ago. So Wolves aren't doing as badly as many would think, but I suppose they are they've been slightly disappointing given that we thought they'd be challenging for a top six spot. That doesn't look like it's going to happen now.
No, it's very difficult, isn't it, to juggle the Europa League and a decent Premier League campaign when you are at the level that Wolves are at.
Definitely.
They strengthened a little bit in the summer, but they still, their squad just looks a little stretched at times.
Yeah.
And they've not been able to get the team, basically, because they barely changed their team last year. They've not been able to get that team out in the Premier League very often at all this season. And of course, with Willy Bolly now out, they're not going to get that team out for a little while. So it is a little bit difficult. They just draw lots of games, Wolves. Games that they should be winning, they draw. Games that they should be losing, they draw. So the draw could be a good bet here. Villa are impressing me this season. It's difficult to weigh them up as a betting proposition because there's been very few games that I've wanted to back them in so far.
Yeah.
But games that are winnable, they've won, if you get me. Home to Brighton, home to Everton are two standouts for me. Games that you look at and go, right, we've got to target those games. They've done it. They've done very well. They played well against Liverpool last week and were arguably very unlucky to come away with absolutely nothing from that game. It looked like they were going to win it with 5 minutes to go. So this is poised, this game, quite delicately. And the way that it's priced up makes me probably, I was going to say lean towards Villa. If I was betting outright and I had to pick one side,
yeah, yeah,
I wouldn't want to be backing Wolves quite as short as that, even though they are the most likely winners, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Villa have beaten Wolves, of course, in the EFL Cup earlier on in the campaign, 2-1, but Wolves fielded an unrecognisable team on that occasion. Yeah, they had a 16-year-old in the lineup, and you can completely disregard that.
It's basically a completely separate team to the two that will be lining up on Sunday.
My best bet comes in this game. I've got to get this right. It's basically the draw at half-time, Wolves at full-time, and I'm not usually one for this, but it's a stats-based bet, basically, because no side has conceded fewer first-half goals in the Premier League than Villa this season, only conceded 3 in the first half, but no side has conceded more than Villa in the second half. They've conceded 15 goals in the second half, and 85% of Wolves' goals has come in the second half. So I'm going with a stats-based bet. I think it might be quite tight. I'm going with the draw half-time, Wolves full-time.
See, it's interesting, isn't it, that the second that you start doing well on the Naps table, you start coming up with these fancy bets that are frankly
It's 4-1, by the way. It's
yeah,
4-1.
It's... Do you know what? For all that... When you said you were going with your best bet, and it was that, I thought, what is he doing? But it makes sense.
Yeah.
Wolves are a second-half team.
Yeah, definitely. And Wolves often start slowly, and especially with that European fixture on Thursday. I think Wolves are going to start slowly in this game. I'm going double result. I'm going draw half-time, Wolves full-time. What are you going with?
I'm going to apply similar logic, I suppose,
yeah,
in that Wolves are a second-half team. In the first half, they can be a little sluggish, whether that's because they're playing in Europe and then on the Sunday, maybe, you know, we don't really know. Villa are decent and they're good value here to get something. But one-all draws just keep happening in Wolves games.
Yeah.
They have done all season. Their last three league games have finished 1-1. So I think you'd be a fool not to back it again. 1-1 is... It's difficult to get correct scores right, but if you were looking for a correct score, that's the obvious one.
Okay, one apiece in that game at Molineux, Wolves taking on Aston Villa. Now to the big one. The big one. Liverpool versus Manchester City at Anfield. It could define the title. Who would be your manager, though? Would it be Jurgen Klopp or Pep Guardiola if you had a combined, a super team, basically, and you had one of them to manage it? Who would you go with?
Klopp.
Okay, Klopp. Let's hear from our guys at the FWA and see what they think.
Jurgen Klopp has transformed Liverpool, changed the mood of the city and the town, made a team of sheer talent, fantastic football side. But Pep Guardiola has simply transformed football. Barcelona, Bayern Munich, and now Manchester City. He's changed the game for the better. And for that, nothing else, I'd have Guardiola as my manager.
The team was put together, made up of players from Manchester City and Liverpool. It would be a close-run thing as to who I would want to manage it between Guardiola and Klopp. Both of them play fantastic, well, their teams play fantastic football. Both of them are winners as well. Just looking at the two sides, City love to express themselves, whether it's home or away. Liverpool don't give teams room to breathe. They are defensively strong, offensively fantastic, and both teams are relentless. I would just give the edge to Klopp. I think the intensity of his side would mean that the quality in the combined team would just be so defensively steely, as well as being able to score goals for fun.
Okay, so the question is, Jurgen Klopp or Pep Guardiola, who would I get to manage a combined team? Really simple, man. It's got to be the main man, Jurgen Klopp. I mean, come on, man. Seriously. What you see, what he's done in Europe, yeah? He's European champion, for goodness sake. And yeah, he lost the league by 1 point, but that was 1 point, man. They lost one game. And he's carried on this hype into the second season. Honestly, man, Liverpool have been brilliant. They look like the better team. And they've got the worst players compared to City. It's got to be Jurgen Klopp.
If I had a combined Liverpool-City team, I'd want Jurgen Klopp to be the manager. First of all, because he's winning the mind games on points at the moment. The first time I think there's been mind games in this fixture, which is something of a surprise in itself. But also, I think more generally, Klopp is better at handling things when they go awry. Guardiola's the master of perfection, but Klopp, I think, can adapt more easily and embrace mistakes, and just you inject that bit of passion you need to overcome the little things that might go wrong.
Thanks to the FWA team for their look at the two managers, Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp. We're going to get it stuck into the betting now. Liverpool.
Who would you have?
Ooh, I'd go Klopp as well.
I don't know why.
I just like Klopp.
I think Guardiola.
It's impossible to hate him.
Guardiola needs more time and probably more money. Klopp is the motivator, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Liverpool, Man City. This is going to be an absolute belter. Liverpool, at time of recording, slight outsiders to win the game, which surprises me. 8-5 to win the match. The draw 13-5. Manchester City 31-20. We'll have loads of flash odds, enhanced odds on the William Hill website and on the app in the build up to the big game. Liverpool can go 9 points ahead of Manchester City with a win here. I think the most intriguing aspect about this is whether Jurgen Klopp sets up his team differently, knowing that a point still leaves them in a very good position to win their first Premier League title.
I'd say absolutely not.
Okay.
He's going to go for this from the get-go. I think you'll see Liverpool at their pressing best going at City from the start. Because Man City don't like Anfield. They don't play well there. They haven't done... Their last win at Anfield was 2003. I was looking back at the team that played on that occasion. I mean, Robbie Fowler was in the City team, for starters. It just... They are worlds apart from the team that Man City have now.
Yeah.
Should Man City be favourites coming into this? Not for me. I'm not saying they can't win, but I'd have Liverpool as favourites. And at Anfield, their record has been absolutely stunning. There are so many people, probably myself included, going to be suckered in by that price.
We talk about the managers. We've heard from the FWA team. They've picked either Klopp or Guardiola. Everyone wants to do a combined 11 for this game. Assuming everyone's fit, of course. Let's go through ours.
Yeah, because we've got Laporte, Sane, they're long-term absentees. Yeah, yeah. There's a few. I mean, Edison's an injury concern after he went off against Atalanta. There's plenty of players who are in and out. And we don't even have the full squads here, do we? I mean, notable absentees. So Rodri's not there. Origi, Zinchenko.
We've narrowed it down to 15 for each. I'll let you lead here. And if there's any if there's any contentious points, I'll just jump in. We'll start off with the keepers, obviously.
Yeah.
You've got the two, the Brazilian one and two, Edison and Alisson. Who has the edge for you?
There really isn't much between them at all. I'm siding with Edison, but only just. And that's more a point around his distribution, but Alisson's not bad with his feet. There really isn't much separating them at all. I just narrowly prefer Edison. But, I mean, that is the kind of battle that you'd quite like, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm with Edison there as well. I just think with his feet a little bit better, a little bit more composed as well. I think the back four is pretty straightforward, in fact. We've got Trent Alexander-Arnold at right back. It's like having Kevin De Bruyne as a right back here because his distribution is absolutely unbelievable, and especially crossing.
I still have concerns about him defensively.
Yeah, I know you do. You mentioned
but
this in the past.
Not as much as I did have. He's going some way to alleviate those. He's just so intelligent on the pitch.
Yeah.
And having him as a weapon to go forward is something else. I mean, he's basically coming up against Kyle Walker. If you'd have asked me a year ago, I'd have said Kyle Walker was the better. I think Trent is now.
Yeah.
He's got that edge.
Centre-half?
Well, it's difficult because none of Man City centre-halves have really covered themselves in glory this season. I mean, Fernandinho's dropped back there and he's done a fair job. But I think Laporte deserves his place there. He's been obviously injured for a little bit of time now, and he will be for a little bit more. But he's a fantastic centre-half, and he's well worth his spot there, as is Virgil van Dijk.
Well, let's just put him in.
That's a no-brainer. he's the best centre-half in the world, for my money, right now. So centre-halves, fine. Left-back?
Got to be this man.
No competition there either, I'm afraid. Mendy has looked less of a liability so far this season than he did at stages last season. But Robertson is superb. That, I don't think...
You can tweet as if you think
differently. You probably will. I don't think you can argue with that.
I don't think you can.
There'll be a lot of Liverpool fans saying, well, Matip's been in superb form this season. He should be there. I think long-term, you'd rather have Laporte than Matip. That's just my view.
We're playing a 4-3-3 here, Alex. So we want a holding midfielder. Who are you going with?
Well, Fernandinho's been at the top of his game for so, so long now.
He's got to be the pick, hasn't he?
No, not for me.
Oh, he is for me. He was talismanic for Manchester City last season.
He was two seasons ago. Last season he was on the wane. Now he's a centre-half, basically. Okay. Rodri's come in and looked okay, not superb. Fabinho's the man for me. If you could move him across, please, Mr. Kellner. he was introduced slowly by Klopp, wasn't he? And people thought, is he ever going to play this guy? And when he was ready, he played him. And now he is rock solid. He doesn't do much going forward. He doesn't have to. He is the perfect shield for what is a fairly offensive back four, if you like. And I don't mean that in the critical way. Fullbacks can bomb on with Fabinho steadying the ship.
There's an obvious pick for one of those two attacking midfield positions before we get to the front three. Slot him in because he has been sensational so far this season.
Kevin De Bruyne had such a good season the season before last. Then, of course, he had the injury-plagued season last year. He looks back to his best this season. I was going to say Pep's reinvented him in that position. He's certainly, you wouldn't consider playing him as a winger anymore, as he used to for Chelsea and when he used to play in Germany. He's just superb. The question is, who do you put alongside him? Because
that's a big question for me.
Well, you look at Liverpool players, you could put a workhorse in there, Jordan Henderson, for example. You could put Gini Wijnaldum in there, who's been very, very good and he's key to how Liverpool play.
I'm putting David Silva in there.
Again, you are living in the past a little bit. I mean, if it was up to you, you'd just pick the old players, basically. Don't know, David Silva's a fine, fine player, but I'm going to play Bernardo there. I've got so much time for him. I think he's an absolutely wonderful footballer. I think he will be in this City team for years to come.
Okay.
Whether it's there or whether he plays on the wing, but for the purposes of this team, he's exactly what you want. He's tenacious, he's creative, and he's the perfect foil for De Bruyne.
And he'll be relishing going up against Liverpool again, won't he?
Yes.
Because he was just sensational in this fixture last season.
He was, and he has a habit of getting booked as well against Liverpool, which is something I may touch on a little bit later. But yeah. If I don't, I'll remind you now. He got booked in both games against Liverpool last season and the Champions League semi-final the year before that. He's good value for a card.
Who are you putting on the right side of the front three then?
Well, this is difficult. This is where you can scratch your head quite a lot,
there's a few, isn't there?
Because Liverpool's front three are widely seen as the best front three in Europe, and there's a reason for that. So do you want to split them up? Well, yes, because I'm difficult. Mo Salah gets the nod for me there. Now,
I'd have to be with that man, Sadio Mane. I think Mane offers more for the team than Mo Salah. I think Mo Salah, if he's not scoring, he's not creating. I like Sadio Mane there. Mane's just been... Maybe this is recency bias with Sadio Mane to a certain extent, but I think Mane in the next couple of seasons will move past Mo Salah.
That could well be the case, but you cannot ignore Salah's goal-scoring record. And the fact that Mane is doing well at the minute could well be because Mo Salah is having two men marking him, leaving a little bit more space for the others. Liverpool's front three work exceptionally well together.
Yep.
To split them up is sacrilege, but it's what I'm going to do. Salah is the one for me, just on goal scoring alone, who gets the nod.
And on the left side, we've got to have Raheem Sterling, haven't we?
He is now in the top three players in the world.
I think so.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
He is sensational. He's combined what he had already, which was frightening pace and a fair amount of ability. And he's combined that with a bit of nous, and he can score goals and he's a danger. Those two, I don't think you can argue with. People definitely will. Liverpool fans will distraught the Mane.
Yeah, I'd be having Mane.
And I can understand that, but it's my team. I've got the touchscreen, so that's where I'm going. Up front as well, I'm a massive fan of Firmino, but I cannot ignore Sergio Aguero. The way that he, year in, year out, just scores goals.
Well, I think he's the most underrated striker ever in the Premier League, personally.
Quite possibly, because you look at previous goal scorers in the Prem, the likes of Henri and Shearer, and they were heralded, and they still are. Aguero's taken as a given that he'll turn up and score goals.
Yeah.
Why? He doesn't have a divine right to, but he does it anyway. He gets the nod for me to play up front. Ironically, he's got a shocking record at Anfield, so let's not play this game at Anfield for this imaginary team. But I think it's a fair representation of both sides, and Klopp in charge. I think if you played that team against anyone, they wouldn't lose many.
Yeah, I like it. I do like that team a lot. Obviously, there's a couple of contentious issues. I'd be with Mane there and probably Fernandinho in that holding midfield role. But that's about it, really. And don't forget, our Twitter handles are there on screen. So if you want to tweet with your combined 11, assuming everyone's fit and ready and raring to go for this weekend, do let us know.
There's some good players that aren't in that team. But the only one... Mane's the one that's given me the most sleepless nights, if you will. The other one, if he was on peak form, Leroy Sané, but he's not going to budge those two.
No. Let's talk about the betting markets then and look at a couple of the players that could have a massive influence on this fixture this weekend. And you picked out Mo Salah playing on the right-hand side. Obviously, Salah's scoring record sensationally. 6-4 to score any time. 5-1 to get the first goal in the match. And he is 10-1 to score two or more in the game as well. Do you see him having a huge impact this weekend?
I think I do, to be honest. Because if you look at Man City's lineup, their weakness, for me, is at left-back. Mendy, for all he's good going forward, defensively is a little suspect. Yeah. Zinchenko's out at the minute, but is he the long-term answer at left-back? I'm not so sure. So Salah, I think, will have a little bit of joy here. He's got a fair record at home against City as well. Let's not forget he takes penalties, provided James Milner's not on the pitch as well. It's rare that he's available at that kind of price to score any time at home, because he generally does. So I'm more than happy to look at him in the anytime markets here, purely as a price play as much as anything.
Yeah, okay, that's Mo Salah. Sergio Aguero is the man that I'll be looking at this weekend. I think he's going to have a massive influence. I think he'll score in the game. And if City are to win, they'll be relying on this man, I think. I know he's been in and out of the Premier League side this year, which has been a bit weird to see with Guardiola sometimes opting for Gabriel Jesus. But I think he'll go with Aguero this weekend.
But Jesus has played really well, yeah, that's the thing. And Aguero's got this fantastic record on Sundays as well, which doesn't bear much relevance to anything. But
no, you're clutching at straws if you're forming a bet around that particular
But then at
start.
The same time, if he does score here, that'll be, what, 50 goals in 80 games on a Sunday? That's a fair strike rate, to be honest.
Does this concern you?
It massively does, to be honest with you, because strikers are creatures of habit. They turn up, they do their job. And if he's turning up at Anfield and not doing his job properly, that may well just be a bugbear. He's also got Virgil van Dijk to come up against, which won't be easy. I think if City are going to do things, it'll be away from van Dijk. They'll be doing their best to maybe isolate him, use Aguero as bait, if you like, while Sterling gets the room. But he's a fantastic player and he's someone that you have to factor into calculations. But personally, I wouldn't be backing him.
This is the... I can't believe he didn't make the 11. Sadio Mane. This is... I know he was superb last season, but it feels like a breakthrough season for Mane in terms of forcing his way into the elite strikers in Europe.
He's fantastic, isn't he? And he gives you everything. He gives you work rate. He's got ability. He drifts in. He stays wide. He's got a really, really good footballing brain. And yes, it does rankle a little bit, or it will rankle with people he's not in the team. I think he... this season has been the key for Liverpool. He has been. That's not to say that he will be all season. I think Salah has to step up a little bit now. He's almost been challenged by Mane. They had that little tiff, didn't they, at Burnley? And since then, Mane's gone, right, I'm going to prove that I'm world-class.
That was quickly swept under the carpet.
Completely.
Klopp dealt with that brilliantly.
Oh, I'm not saying that's a long-term problem
by
any means.
No, I don't think it is.
But since then, Mane's gone from strength to strength and Salah's been maybe a little quieter than normal. Of course, it's not just about those two. We've not even mentioned Bobby Firmino in this. We touched on the fullbacks, but they're such a massive source of Liverpool's attacking threat as well. I'm looking forward to this game beyond belief. It's going to be an absolute belter.
Sadio Mane, by the way, he's 6-4 to score any time, 5-1 to score first. Mentioned Aguero there, 7-2 to score first in the game, 21-20 to score any time. So he's noticeably shorter than Mane and Salah.
I could
happily leave
that price alone.
Yeah.
If he scores, fair enough, but until he scores at Anfield, you've got to be careful taking those prices.
This is the key stat with Mane as well, just how influential his contributions have been to Liverpool gaining points this season. They'd be fourth without his goals and assists this campaign. I know that's a rudimentary way of looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's important.
Definitely.
Who do they turn to in their key moments? In recent seasons, it's been Salah. Mane's now stepping up to the plate more. They're just a good team.
Let's get your bets. What are you going with?
I cannot get away from Liverpool in the outright market. I just think that...
I'm surprised that at time of recording, marginal outsiders, yeah. That astonishes me.
I completely agree. Because can you see Liverpool scoring in this game? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So City immediately need two to win. I can't rule the draw out of it because, as I said, I think Liverpool will go for it from the off. But if it is tight towards the end, they'd be the happier with a draw, I think. But the best bet for me is Liverpool. It has to be. I'd also bear in mind, I mentioned Salah. He's the one I would go to if you are looking for a goal scorer in the game. That kind of price is tempting.
Yeah.
But I cannot get away from that Liverpool price. Mm. It is, as far as I'm concerned, too big. That'll be where my cash is on
Sunday.
Okay,
Liverpool the bet then at 8-5 for Alex. Now we've got the bets, the best bets of the week coming up from you and I, mm-hmm. and we've got Pete, Gav and Al. But first, here's Emma.
I can't wait for Liverpool v City, and I've got a sneaky fancy for Liverpool. If you're having a bet, make sure you check out all the enhanced odds, your odds and some very special flash odds that you don't want to miss. Plus, have a look at the yes-no coupons on the app. Six questions with yes or no is the answer, and the odds are always 33-1. It's going to be a super Sunday, so make sure you check out williamhill.com or the app.
Championship nap of the week for me this week is Millwall at 21-20. That price looks absolutely fantastic. Gary Rowett was a really good replacement for Neil Harris. They've scored at least two goals in each of their last three home games. And they're taking on a Charlton side who've conceded at least two goals in each of their last four games away. A win at Reading was their only away win since winning at Ewood Park on the opening day of the season. I think Charlton are beginning to struggle a little bit. And with Millwall, I always like backing them at home. So that's it. That's my Championship nap of the week. It's Millwall at 21-20.
FA Cup action this weekend, and my nap involves two sides going head-to-head who are both in League One. Tranmere at home to Wycombe Wanderers. Wycombe Wanderers flying high in League One. Tranmere down towards the bottom. Tranmere at home in the FA Cup. Last six games, drawn three, lost three, and conceded 22 goals in those six games, including a 7-0 defeat at home to Spurs last season. Wycombe, on the other hand, in the FA Cup away from home, have won six of the last nine games. I'm backing Wickham to win this one. They're my nap at 27-20.
Morecambe have played 23 FA Cup ties against sides from a higher division. They've lost 21 of them. And Blackpool have won four of their last five against lower league opposition. So no surprise to hear, I'm expecting Blackpool to repeat what they did earlier this season, and that is win at home to their Lancashire Coast rivals in a cup tournament. That day it was 5-1 in the trophy, so 4-9 Blackpool. That is ACCA fodder with League 2's bottom side and the league's most porous defence to aim at. I'm much more tempted by Blackpool -1 on the handicaps, and that is 11-10.
Let's have a look at the Naps table then. Still looking pretty green, which is good. I went with a 4-1 shot, or around about 4-1 shot last week, and Sadio Mane, the scourge of that particular bet, Liverpool to draw with that last minute winner, which frustrated me immensely. 4-1 this week again, draw half-time, Wolves to win at full-time. I won't bore you with all those stats from earlier, but it is a stats-based bet, and that's what I'm going with as my nap.
You said that it was frustrating that that happened. It's frustrating that you're still at the top of this Naps table and putting up bets like that. Because basically, I'll let you in to a little behind-the-scenes info here. Basically, Dave sits on his own for 4 hours, looks at the computer, decides what his best bet is, then changes his mind, asks somebody else for their opinion and goes with that instead. So our Wolves-supporting friend, Sam Norris, has basically put that one up. No, you're doing well, but Ali's closing on
you. He is.
And both he and Gav napping in the FA Cup this week as well. Pete's with Millwall in the Championship. Derek's gone for a flyout, Palace to win. There's worse.
That would be unbelievable if that landed.
It would shoot him all the way up. But I don't mind that as a price play.
It is
a massive
price.
Earlier. And I've gone very much safe.
Yeah,
Vardy anytime, which I know you're not happy with.
No, well, you're just trying to chip away, aren't you? And it's not working.
Yes. 3-4 he is to score anytime. Okay. I think it's a safe option. Leicester are a bigger price to win the match than Vardy is to score any time, but this comes with less risks attached.
Okay.
Vardy to score and Leicester to win, by the way, you were saying that you like. I considered that too, but Vardy any time, I'm hopeful, will get me just chipping away at your lead.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's watched. Remember, you can listen to this podcast on audioboom.com as well if you wish to do so. And check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. A slightly longer show than usual, but I'm sure you appreciate that it's a big match this weekend. Liverpool versus Manchester City. Good luck with all your bets. And myself and Alex, we will be back next week.